Westminster Weekend up next on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us. Pastor Chris Gordon, and on behalf of the Linden United Reformed Church, we bring you Westminster Weekend.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Scott Clark for Westminster Weekend. Today, David Zadok, a graduate of Westminster Seminary, California, and Israel Field Director of Christian Witness to Israel, joins us for this two-part program to talk about reaching secular Israelis with the gospel. David is an Israeli citizen and a Reformed Christian. He's a retired major in the Israeli Army and an elder in Grace and Truth Congregation in Tel Aviv. He's also a translator of the Heidelberg Catechism into modern Hebrew, and he's helping with the translation of the Heidelberg into Russian. Hi, David, and welcome to Westminster Weekend.
Thank you.
Well, since we last were together, what is happening in Israel, and more particularly, what's happening with HaGefen Publishing?
Well, in Israel, we don't have ever a moment of dullness, so a lot is happening, and a lot has happened since then. But I think the more encouraging and important thing is, beside a lot of the politics, is what God is doing among the Jewish people in Israel. And one of the encouraging signs that we are seeing is more openness toward the gospel among the Jewish people, particularly younger Israelis. Last October, just about 9 months ago, we did a campaign, evangelistic campaign, in cooperation with a few churches. And in that campaign, we got more than 500 people who called and asked for the New Testament and an evangelistic booklet that we have published. Now, that doesn't mean that 500 people have come to Christ, but nevertheless, the fact that that great number asked for the New Testament and the book we published is a real encouragement. So that's one thing that has been a great encouraging to us, just to starting to see that God is slowly but surely opening a crack in Israel and among the Jewish people there.
Getting the New Testament into people's hands in Israel might not sound like a big thing in North America, but if you were to visit an average Israeli house, you're not likely to find a Hebrew language New Testament lying around.
No, not at all. In fact, in many houses nowadays, you might hardly even find the Old Testament, because many of the Israelis today, very secular, and although they might have studied the Old Testament in the school, which is mandatory, but they really have no thought, no idea of the New Testament. For them, that's something that belongs to the Christians, to the Roman Catholic, and so forth, and not to the Jewish person.
When you have an opportunity to talk to an Israeli about the gospel, where do you start?
I usually start in Genesis 3. I think most Israelis know the story, but most Israelis at the same time don't realize the consequences of that sin. And one of the places that I kind of get them to think is Genesis 3:15, what we often call the Proto-Evangelium. Most people have no idea what that verse is talking about. And so that's usually when we start. And then, of course, we talk about passages like Isaiah 53, Jeremiah 31, where God says, "Behold, the days are coming when I would make a new covenant with the house of Israel and house of Jacob." I had cases when I read those passages to them, some of them feel or believe that I'm reading from the New Testament.
How has late modern secularism affected Israel? How secular is an average Israeli citizen?
Average Israeli is probably as secular as most Western countries in many ways. Although in Israel, the thing that it might be just a little bit different is that most Israelis who are secular, they still would celebrate the Passover meal, and they still might go to synagogue on the Day of Atonement or the Yom Kippur, which basically goes to show that to them, Judaism has become something more of a culture than a faith in the true and the living God. And that is the main challenge that we face as the church in Israel, is bringing the gospel to the people who have some idea of Judaism, but it's more of a culture than anything else.
What is the typical conception of sin?
Well, you know, there is a saying that, you know, when you ask two Jewish people for opinion, you get at least three. So when it comes to sin, I think average Israeli would consider sin as something that it's only a horrible thing, like a murder, or if you're really a criminal, that's kind of, they see that as a sin. And in general, they, since they really don't think much about the heaven and hell, so sin to them, it's nothing more than just living your life in a way that it's not offending to others. If you can get away with cheating on your taxes and you're not caught, then you've done a good job. And so that's mostly the concept. They really don't have a biblical concept of sin.
So it's not radically different there from North America in that respect.
No. In many ways, I often say that bringing the gospel to the Jewish people is, this, in many ways, is the same as bringing the gospel to any other culture, particularly Western culture. The only challenge that we face in Israel is the history. And as a result of that, bringing the gospel to the Jewish people is more challenging because they feel that so many people have been killed in the name of Christianity or have been forcefully baptized in the Roman Catholic Church during the Inquisition and other periods. So they really feel that, why should I become a Christian? Why should I believe in the name of Jesus, that in his name so many Jewish people have been killed?
In the 17th century, John Bunyan gave us the character Mr. Valiant for Truth. In the 20th century, God gave us another Mr. Valiant for Truth, J. Gresham Machen, the founder of Westminster Seminary. The spirit of Machen lives on at Westminster Seminary, California, where for 30 years we've been fulfilling his vision of training men for ministry and preparing them to be expert in the Bible. WSCAL.edu, 888-480-8474, Westminster Seminary, California, for Christ, his gospel, and his church. You anticipated where I wanted to go, because it seems like one of the special problems that you would face is the very intense religio-political feeling that exists around Palestine, or around the geography, about who's going to be in control. And obviously it's intertwined with an ancient history, a lot of modern history, and it's very, very intense. And I wonder if that makes people think, well, listen, all this does is create conflict, hatred, division, war, and I just want, I want out of the whole thing.
I think one of the things that I mentioned earlier about we are starting to see an openness towards the gospel is actually the result of that. I mean, after almost 60-some years of being a state and going through so many wars and conflicts and bombings and everything, average Israeli feels that he wants to have a quiet and peaceful life, which is hard to get. And if you had some quietness for some time, nowadays Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, is making it more challenging. And I think as a result of all of these things, people are starting to ask themselves the question, the real questions of life, you know, where I'm going, what is life all about, and what is there after death? Obviously, in many ways, the institutionalized Judaism does not provide those answers. And I think that that's why that people are more open. And I think that the media, the internet, and the fact that many Israelis, particularly after their military service, they travel all around the different parts of the world, particularly in Thailand and South America, they get a lot of exposure to new ideas. And so in some ways, they're also open to the Christianity. And as the church in Israel is growing, and as more and more Jewish Christians in Israel are more bolder in terms of their faith, it makes that the gospel more relevant to the Jewish people and to Israelis.
Tell us about the work of HaGefen.
In HaGefen Publishing, our goal has always been to support the churches in their God-given task of evangelism and discipleship. One of the challenges that we face in Israel, that it's different than probably most countries, is that Israel in many ways is a paradox, because although we have a long history when it comes to the Old Testament, in the New Testament we have very, very short history. And as a result, there are very, very few books in Hebrew language. People are surprised when I tell them, for example, that there are hardly any commentaries in Hebrew. We don't have any book on preaching. We don't have any books on systematic theology or introduction to Old or the New Testament. And so we've set as our goal, for example, in the next 10 years to publish at least one commentary on each of the 66 books. We are providing the various reform documents, mainly in Hebrew, but at times also in Russian. We are providing books for parents, how to raise their children, and for spouses, how to relate to one another. And it's very interesting because about a year ago, we had some friends from Holland that were visiting us. And as we were talking, it was just about the time that we had published the Heidelberg Catechism, which, of course, is very dear and near to their hearts. And one of them asked me, said, you know, we've been traveling in Israel and we realize that many Israelis actually do speak English. So I don't understand why in HaGefen you're making so much effort in publishing books in Hebrew when people can read in English. And I told him, I said, well, first of all, the fact that, you know, some Israelis might be able to communicate with you in English, it's one thing, but to sit down and to read a theological book is a different thing. But that's not really the reason, because still it might be still cheaper to teach most Jewish Christian Israelis English than to publish books. Mm-hmm. But the reason that we publish books is that I want to make sure that my children and my grandchildren and their generations, they realize that faith in Jesus is not something foreign to us, but it's something that belongs to our forefathers, and that they can read about it in their own language. And that's why we are working hard and putting various efforts to publish different books in different areas of the Christian faith in order to make sure that they realize that it belongs to us as much as to any other language or nation.
There's something about having the faith in your own language. When you're reading it in someone else's language, even if it's a language with which you have considerable familiarity and fluency, there's, as you say, something about having, for example, the scriptures in your language, and having, you know, important summaries of scripture like the Heidelberg Catechism in your own language, because it says, I'm a part of this. I'm not an outsider.
That's exactly true. And I think when we look back at the history of Reformation, when Martin Luther, he made the scriptures available to every German-speaking person. And to some degree, we feel that we are doing the same thing, particularly in this project that we've started about almost 12 years ago, where we are translating the Old Testament into modern Hebrew. Because what is happening today is that average Israeli, when they read the Old Testament, probably 50 or 60% of what they read, they can't understand because the language has changed.
People might assume that Hebrew is Hebrew, but if we just stopped and thought about it in our own context, if we hand people the Authorized Version, as beloved as that is, for a lot of folks, it's a very difficult read. It's like handing them Shakespeare. It's archaic and foreign, and it makes the scriptures seem archaic and foreign.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons we started this project, was not only to help average Israeli, but particularly the children and young people, because when you read the scripture and you struggle with understanding what it says, eventually you get tired of it and you put it aside. So we wanted to make sure that we are doing something that would make the scriptures not only available, but something that they would want to read. And just this October, hopefully October, November, we would publish the fourth volume, which is the Psalms, Proverbs, and Job. And we're hoping to complete all of the Old Testament by 2012. We've already done the Pentateuch and the historical books, as well as the prophets. We're going according to the Jewish order of the book.
That's it for Westminster Weekend. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same station, for part two of this discussion with David Zadok about reaching secular Israelis with the gospel, and another episode of Westminster Weekend. Find us on the web at wscal.edu. Call us at 888-480-8474 or email us at weekend@wscal.edu. And now here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
This program was brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We encourage your both prayerful and financial support. If you would like to support us, do please write to Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Again, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.